If you love surprises as much as I do, you're gonna love this one. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Big Lash Energy. I'm your host, Jaina Marie. I know that a lot of our listeners are pretty highly invested when it comes to my relationship with Arzu. She's the little girl who used to live down the street from me. During the course of the time that I've had this show, she's become my little roommate. And this week, I'm trying to give her the surprise of a lifetime. Now, the reason why I have extra pep in my voice is because this is happening like right now. We're going through all of this
as we speak.
And little did she know that there's an act of bravery on her behalf that helps make it all happen. I can't wait for you to hear how all this shakes out. So get your Kleenex ready, because this is going to be a roller coaster ride of emotions, a story all about how the universe conspired along with me to help get this very special young lady from sleeping on a couch to living in the penthouse.
You heard me right.
Let's go.
Welcome to Big Lash Energy, dedicated to helping you navigate life's hurdles with your head held high. We're celebrating wins, learning from our losses, and laughing at ourselves along the way. Now here's your favorite hype woman, Jaina Marie.
Jaina Marie.
Back, I've always considered myself fiercely grateful to my parents for how much they sacrificed to do all the extra things for myself, my sister, and brother when we were growing up. Like, they put so much time and money into making sure we could play sports. My mom worked an extra job so that we could go to private school, and they did all kinds of things to try and make sure that we had beautiful memories. But then I met Arzu, and I heard her story, and I realized that I hadn't ever considered how blessed I was to have the simple things. Things like a peaceful home, food in the kitchen, the security of knowing my parents had jobs. These were all the things Arzu didn't have that I took for granted. When I met Arzu, she didn't have big expectations for herself. She never thought college was an option or that living anywhere nice was in her future. She couldn't picture herself doing well at school or having money to eat real food. All of her groceries were from the dollar store or sent to her from me, the lady who lived down the street. For some reason, of all the things she was missing out on, the one that stood out to me the most was that she never had a bedroom. As a little girl, my bedroom was everything to me. My family moved a lot when we were kids, and each time we did, they'd let us decorate however we wanted, and those four walls meant everything to us. For a little girl, your bedroom is so much more than a room. It's where she whispers secrets with her closest friends. It's where she enjoys moments of solitude, where she can be entirely herself. It's a place to dream, imagine, make believe. In her room, every little girl is the architect of her own universe. Every corner holds a new adventure, and every object has a story to tell. It's a place of wonder and joy where she can let her imagination run wild and her spirit soar freely. It's her own little world, and she's the queen. But Arzu faced a lot of heartbreak for someone her age. At 5, her mom passed away, which meant that her dad was suddenly a single father of 4. She had 3 older brothers, and when she and I met, she was living with her dad and 2 of those brothers in a 2-bedroom condo just down the street from me. The boys shared one room, their dad was in the other, and Arzu was on the couch in the living room. I knew her for 4 years before she came to live with me, and in all of that time, she never mentioned that she didn't have a bedroom. She never ever complained, never felt sorry for herself. It was just her normal. Her clothes were on the ground in the bottom of a closet, and she was used to not having any privacy. Then 1.5 years ago, unfortunately, one of her brothers was shot and killed. Suddenly, her other brother didn't want to sleep in their bedroom anymore because it was haunted by memories of the dear friend he'd lost. Now, Arzu had a choice, to either sleep on the couch or sleep in her deceased brother's room. Neither seemed ideal. When she came on the show before, I had some pushback from people who were surprised when I said that her dad didn't know who I was. Now, there are parts of this story that I have to leave out. I'm only going to say that I'd initially wanted to meet him, but I was advised by police and family services that out of concern for my safety, it wouldn't be a good idea. So I've always helped from a distance. I'm pretty sure Arzu knew it wouldn't be safe for me either, so she kept our meetings a secret. But we had a special bond. Even the second time we met, she asked me to be her mom, so I've always felt responsible for her well-being. Then one day, her dad's temper boiled over, this time more than usual. He got very physical with Arzu and scared her so badly that she ran to my home in bare feet. She showed up, banging on the door, and has been with me ever since. So needless to say, I wasn't planning on having someone else living with me. My life was perfectly designed for myself and my two Frenchies. My home is a two-bedroom condo on the ground floor of a five-story apartment building. I love it here. I have a huge patio that wraps around my corner unit that I've decorated to feel like my own little backyard escape. One of my bedrooms is, of course, where I sleep, and the other has been outfitted kind of like a celebrity's dressing room, and this is where I meet with my clients and record the podcast. All of my closets are overstuffed with my clothes that I've been hoarding throughout the years, and each of my things has its place. When Arzu showed up, I didn't know if it would be long-term or not. There were so many factors that could come into consideration, like maybe she'd miss her family, maybe they'd convince her to come home, maybe she'd be a nightmare to deal with. I really had no way of knowing. So as a temporary solution, we arranged to have her sleep on my pull-out couch in the living room. It made into a bed, and while I thought that she would be suffering there, she loved it. The day she came to stay with me had been extremely stressful for her. She and her dad had gotten into a fight that got very physical. So when she curled up in blankets on my couch later that night, she said, "I'm probably not going to get any sleep tonight." But very shortly after she laid her head down, she was completely knocked out. And it felt good to my heart to see her there, finally in peace. The next morning, she woke up sleepy-eyed, shook at how deep she'd been sleeping. And after that, we both knew that my home was her home. I hated that she was on the couch, that each day she went to school, she had to put her bed away. I wanted her to feel like home, but she was just thankful to be in a stress-free place with food in the kitchen. She was happy where she was. So I knew it was my job to dream bigger for the both of us. At this point, it's been about 8 months that we've been living together. When she first moved in, I was imagining her being a liability, for lack of a better word, that it would be stressful, exhausting, all the things you hear about that many other parents deal with when it comes to having a teenager. But Arzu is so thankful to be here that she really does her best to try and be an asset to the home. In her words, "You work so hard to pay the bills, the least I can do is keep the house clean and take care of the dogs." She'd tell you that our relationship is 50-50. She really does try to take care of me as much as I take care of her. She makes sure to wash all my makeup brushes every day that I work. And I remember one time she stopped in the middle, held up a handful of them to her friend on FaceTime and said, "See, these are what pay the bills around here." I think she likes feeling like she's contributing too. There have been other times when I've been stressed, writing episodes in my bedroom like a maniac, and she knocked on the door gently and brought me a steak dinner. And she's always on me to make sure that I stay hydrated. I'll go to make yet another coffee for the day, and she'll say, "Have you had water yet?" And I'll pour myself a glass and say, "Thanks for the reminder, Mama Arzu. We were meant to be together. I know this." So it's time to get her off the couch. She deserves a bedroom for herself. It was time to start my search. I started looking for three-bedroom condos. I browsed Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, and I looked up new developments too. Seeing the prices put a giant lump in my throat. This city is so expensive to live in. And by adding a third bedroom to our living situation, it was looking like I'd be adding a minimum of $1,000 to $1,500 to each month's rent. And in most cases, it didn't even mean that we'd have a bigger space necessarily. It just meant smaller rooms. At one point, I found a new building development, a high rise that wasn't quite move-in ready yet. So it had a whole bunch of floor plans that we could choose from. I brought Arzu so that we could do a tour, and it was fun to imagine being able to pick whatever layout that we wanted. In each space, we'd walk in and plan together which room would be the office, which would be her bedroom, and which would be mine. I remember in one space we looked at, it was a three-bedroom plus den. But the den was really just a big closet. It had no windows. It was basically just big enough for a mattress. She looked at it and said,
"I'd be totally fine to take this one. Then you could have more room for your office space."
This was another reminder of how little she'd had before, and honestly, more of a reason for me to want the best for her. even though this building was brand new, something about it just didn't do it for me. I guess it felt like such a huge increase in expenses for a very small improvement to the living arrangement. I ignored the application emails that were sent to my inbox and thought maybe we'd have to move further out of town to get the space that we needed. But I knew that being close to where we already were was important since next year is Arzu's grad year and she'd want to stay at the same school. Not only that, but her principal and basketball coach had been a major help to both her and I, and I wanted to keep her surrounded as much as possible by her support system. The frustration of being stuck set in, and I gave up the search for a while. Now, during this time, Arzu was observing Ramadan. She was fasting during the daylight hours, and in the evening, she was going to the mosque to pray. I asked her what she was praying for so many nights, and she said her mom, her brothers, her dad, and me. It felt comforting knowing that I was being prayed for. As I learned, Ramadan lasts for 40 nights, with the end of it being a celebration called Eid. And this was described to me as being kind of like Muslims' Christmas. It's a family dinner with money and gifts that are given to the kids. Now, the fact that Arzu was observing Ramadan was kind of funny to me because despite my place being safer for her, her family hated that she was living with me. And I came to realize it was mostly because I'm white. They thought that I wouldn't have the same morals and that she was going to lose her culture. However, prior to being with me, she never even went to the mosque. The day before Eid, she asked if I would put henna on her hands. It's a very traditional way to celebrate, and I wanted her to feel as much of her culture as possible, so I said yes. We drove across town so I could buy the henna paste, and we sat up till 1 o'clock in the morning on a school night, carefully placing the designs on her hands. Up until this point, she hadn't had any contact with her family since the day that she left her father's house, but I guess in the name of the holiday, the only family member that she hadn't blocked off her phone called while she was at school the next day and asked if she would come with her family to visit her brother's grave. Well, actually, they didn't ask. They said they were on their way to pick her up, and she started to panic. Tears filled her eyes, and she ran to a bathroom stall so she could freak out in peace. On one hand, she was worried that they might force her to stay with them, or maybe they'd guilt trip her into leaving her place with me. But on the other hand, she couldn't help but have missed her family. It had been 8 months of her not seeing her brothers or her niece and nephew. So she called me from school, unsure of what to do. I told her, "I'll never get between you and your family. If you feel safe and you really want to go, I'll support you." She was terrified, but she decided that she was going to go anyways. She promised to leave her location settings turned on, and she left her heavy books with her principal in case she had to run away. These were her ideas. In her mind, she was going to be ready for anything. 45 minutes later, they were picking her up from school, and I'd be lying if I told you that I wasn't stressed. Immediately, her brother noticed the henna on her hands, and like I mentioned, it was Eid, and she was definitely looking traditional for someone who'd been living with a white lady. Talk about good timing, right? He said, "Where did you get that henna?" And she said,
"Jaina put it on me."
He said, "Jaina knows how to do henna?" And Arzu said,
"No, but she learned."
Thankfully, the visit went much better than Arzu thought it would. They visited the grave and got a bite to eat, and afterwards, Arzu asked if she could make a stop at the old home that she lived in months before. The last time she was there, she was being escorted by a police officer with only 30 minutes to pack her bag, so inevitably, there were things that she'd left behind that she wanted to grab, but more importantly, she really wanted her IDs and passports that she hadn't gotten before. She knew her dad wouldn't be home, so it would be the perfect time to grab them. I'd been traveling lots since she'd been living with me, and she could have come with me for some of those trips if we had had them. We'd talked a bunch of times about how much better it would be if we had her passport, but on this day, she never told me this was her plan. She came up with this all on her own. Once she got to her home, she rifled through her dad's filing cabinet and drawers until she hit the jackpot. There they were, finally. Just as she breathed a sigh of relief and went to tuck the documents into her bag, the thought crossed her brother's mind that as soon as her dad was going to realize these things were missing, he was going to be left having to do the explaining. So he put his foot down. Her brother said, "You can't take those. You're not going to make a headache for me." Her shoulders dropped. She should have known this wasn't going to be easy. Then, I don't know how she did it, but as soon as her brother wasn't looking, she snapped pictures of each of the documents and texted them to me. And like the little G that she is, she immediately deleted the photos off her phone. She didn't want to get caught. I was at work minding my own business, and all of a sudden, all these notifications started coming to my phone. As soon as I saw that Arzu was sending me pictures of her passports and her care card and her IDs, I was so impressed, and I had no idea how she was doing it, but I knew she had our future in mind. She wanted more freedom with me to be able to travel and see the world together. I laughed to myself and thought, man, she's such a cool kid. So anyways, later that very same night, as I was dozing off, my eyes were just starting to get really heavy. I thought, I haven't looked for a place in a while. So I did my usual search, pet-friendly three-bedroom condos, and I stumbled across a listing that said it had only been live for 24 hours. I scrolled up and down the page. The building looked really familiar. It had indoor basketball courts, an outdoor pool, a party area, a massive gym, a theater, sauna, steam room, all the amenities I would love to have, and a place that I drooled over many times before. This was the high rise directly next door to where I was living right now. I figured there had to be a typo because I knew the biggest unit in that building was a two bedroom. But after a little more research, I figured out that this was the penthouse, the only three bedroom in the building, which also explained why it was much bigger and had massive vaulted ceilings. Then I saw the price. This penthouse with all of the amenities and 350 extra square feet was the same cost as those new units that I'd looked at with Arzu. Okay, now we're talking. Right away, I sent an email with a little blurb about me. Hello, I live in the building directly next door and need more space for the teenager that I've recently adopted. I'd love to see the unit at your earliest convenience. I received a response immediately. They asked for more details about who would be living in the space and asked if I could come the next day at noon. Of course, I said yes. For some reason, I decided that I wasn't going to tell Arzu about this. I think part of me didn't want to jinx it, and also I didn't want her to get super excited over something that might not happen. Most importantly, I decided at that moment that if I got it, I wanted to surprise her with it. I called Ricky, who lives just down the street, and asked if she wanted to see the place with me. Of course, she gave me an enthusiastic
yes.
After all, if we got the place, she'd be benefiting by having immediate access to the outdoor pool and gym. I wanted the management company to take me seriously. I knew that in order to be considered for the penthouse, I had to look like money. I couldn't pull up in my usual gender-neutral gym teacher wardrobe, so I told Ricky, "We need to look expensive." She said,
"Oh, absolutely. You got it."
The next day, she showed up in a snatched ponytail and a lovely business class shade of beige. She understood the assignment. Funny enough, I was dressed almost exactly the same. I threw on a Louis Vuitton bag, you know, gotta look like money, and we ran out the door. The building is literally 8 steps from the one that I live in now, so on our short walk, we joked about how easy the move would be. When we got there, the manager was waiting at the door. She shook her hands and introduced herself as Ling. She said, "The amenities are in the building beside us, so let's go see the unit first." We got in the elevator and hit the very last button, and I gotta admit, that felt good. The elevator doors opened up and we walked to the right, and as soon as she opened the doors, we were showered in light. This space took our breath away. Our voices echoed as we fawned over how high the ceilings were. Suddenly, I saw the place through Arzu's eyes. If I liked it this much, she would be blown away. At this point, I didn't really have to see anything else. I already wanted it. The view was next level. There was a balcony off the living room, a huge spacious kitchen with an island that overlooked the living space, then a hallway to the left with all the bedrooms. I got choked up when I saw what would be Arzu's bedroom. The windows are massive. The place is filled with light, and she overlooks her old house and the park that she used to be stuck spending almost every day in. It just felt symbolic, you know, with her being 29 floors up in the air, looking down over where she used to be. I wanted this for her so badly. The room that would be the office would be perfect for makeup. It had windows almost all the way around. Then the space that would be my bedroom, okay, also very nice. It had its own balcony, a walk-in closet, an ensuite bathroom, which was great because I'm picturing Arzu having all her friends over and me being able to tuck away into my own space. I just felt it in my spirit. This place was perfect for us, more than I could have ever asked for. And more importantly, the perfect first bedroom for Arzu. I asked Ling, what do I have to do to get this place? She said, well, I'm meeting everyone who's interested and telling the owners who I think would be the best pick. I couldn't waste a minute with this woman. I said, well, I just recently adopted a girl who's never had a bedroom before. I want to be in this building because she'll have the summer of a lifetime with the pool and she'll be able to practice her basketball in that court. It's the same neighborhood that we live in now. And honestly, I feel really vulnerable having her on the ground floor. We looked straight down from one of the many windows. I pointed and said, see, that's where we're living right now. She nodded her head and said, oh yes, this would be much safer. Then she said, well, we've had a lot of people looking. One man owns 3 properties and wants to rent this as a place closer to the city. I said, well, that sounds pretty suspicious to me. He already has 3 places to choose from. He doesn't need to be here. And on top of that, he could be in any unit in this building. I need a 3-bedroom. This is the only unit I could be in. And she said, you know what? You're right about that. Then she asked, do you want to see the pool? She took Ricky and I on a tour of the amenities of the building. It was like being in a really fancy hotel. I stopped her mid-tour and said, okay, can you not show me anything else unless you're going to let me take this place? Because I'm just falling in love even more. And it's just not going to be fair if I get a no. She laughed because she didn't realize I was completely serious. At the end of the tour, Ling said that she had a few more showings, but if I submitted the formal application, she'd get back to me as soon as the decision had been made. I went home, opened the application form, and started to fill it out. I'd only ever rented 1 time before, so I wasn't that familiar with what would be needed. But as I checked the boxes and filled in the blanks, my heart stopped when I got to one of the requirements. In order to apply for this place, I needed to submit the passports for both Arzu and myself. The passport that we hadn't had for 8 months, but that she'd finally sneakily taken a picture of just the day before. I didn't even have to ask for her to send it to me because she'd sent it to me before deleting. A huge smile crossed my face. It felt like she was helping me apply for this place without even knowing it. This felt like it was meant to be. It felt like maybe this was a sign that we were supposed to be in the penthouse. As someone who's always on the lookout for signs or winks from the universe that something's meant to happen, this really was feeling like things were falling into place. But just when I started to get a little overly confident, a voice inside my head said, Jaina, be careful. You thought everything was lining up for you to win the Ambies, and that didn't happen. So you're better to manage your expectations. I calmed myself down a little bit, and before I hit send on the application, I told myself, if we're meant to get this place, we will. As my application form and passport pictures made their way to Ling's inbox, I told myself, now, all that's left to do is wait and see. Keeping a secret from Arzu is the worst. Not only do I want to tell her so we can be excited together, but I'm horrible at keeping secrets in general. Like, I felt like I was about to burst. I swear it would almost slip out of my mouth like 20 times a day. For example, we were out walking the dogs at one point, and I looked way up to the top of the building beside us and wanted to say, just think about it. In a couple of months, that could be us up there. Thankfully, I kept my mouth shut. In fact, I found myself avoiding conversation with her just to be safe. But the next morning, I woke up to a call from Ling. She said, hi, Jaina. I'm sorry, I don't have any good news yet. I know you're waiting, but we have lots more people who want to look at the unit. If it helps, I am cheering for you. That story about you and your daughter really touched my heart. And as a mother, I can see how you're really trying to help her. You've inspired me, and I wish there were more people in this world like you. Unfortunately, it's just not my decision. I told her, thank you for your support. And just know that no matter which way they decide, I appreciate you and your efforts. She said, thank you. I'll hope to have news for you by tomorrow. We hung up and I realized that this meant I was going to have to spend at least another 24 hours avoiding Arzu. In the meantime, I would talk about it with everyone else that I could. My mom, Ricky, my clients, my neighbors. I was telling everybody I might be surprising Arzu with a bedroom. Finally, one of my friends interrupted me and said,
It sounds like that's going to be a really nice place for you too.
That hadn't even crossed my mind. In fact, I kind of forgot that I'd be moving, that I'd have a new bedroom. When I mentioned that to her, she goes,
you know what? You're starting to sound like a real mom.
I'm pretty sure I watched the videos that I'd taken of this space when I was in it with Ricky over 100 times. I had the surprise all planned out. What I was going to do was tell Arzu that a client of mine had left her hair extensions in her condo for me to pre-curl before her event the next day. I was going to say that she left me her keys so we could pop over and grab them. Then I'd pretend that I just wanted to snoop around the building and the penthouse condo. But once we got there, one of the bedrooms would have all of Arzu's favorite things sitting in it, waiting for her. The thought of her reaction had me so distracted from everything else that I needed to do in my life. But whenever I'd get all worked up about it, I'd have to tell myself to chill because let's be real, it might not happen. The next day, I was busy searching for decorating ideas when my phone rang. It was Ling. Jaina, the owners have made their decision. I ended up not telling them about anybody else, so you got the place.
Yeah!
Are you kidding me? I'm so excited. I can't wait to surprise Arzu. This is going to be great. I screamed so loud, she's probably still taking Tylenol. Then I hung up the phone and called my mom, and she screamed too. Arzu's moving to the penthouse! Ling had said that the next day we were going to be meeting up to sign paperwork, that it would only be a 5-minute meeting in the lobby, and then we'd be all set to go. I was getting waves of excitement mixed with waves of anxiety because these bills were going to be a lot higher than I was used to. I was calculating what I could do to balance out the additional cost, but I knew that even if I had to work harder to make it happen, in the end, it would be worth it. The next day couldn't come fast enough. Our appointment was in the evening and Arzu was going to be home from school, so I had to tell her that I was going to have a quick meeting with my new admin lady, Brittany. I said I'm just going to be 5 minutes and then we'll make dinner. She waved to me, partially distracted by TikTok, and I made my way to the building next door. I hated having to be dishonest with her, but I knew that it was for a good cause. When I walked into the building, my energy did not match everyone else's. I was on cloud nine. My smile was so big, it was hurting my cheeks, and everyone else was super serious. We all sat down at the boardroom table just off of the lobby. It was Ling, who was hired by the owners to manage the unit, and then the husband and wife, who were both Chinese, sitting across from me. I greeted both of them, smiling ridiculously huge and saying, thank you so much for choosing me. But it became apparent right away that Ling was going to have to be our translator. She spoke on behalf of the couple. Jaina, we seem to have a bit of a problem. The smile dropped off my face. The owners showed your documents to their lawyer, and he doesn't believe what you're showing as your income to be accurate. My stomach dropped. I knew this had to be too good to be true. On paper, I don't look successful at all. I mean, at least not in the title. Think about it. I'm a single woman who's worked for herself for 19 years. I don't have any job references because I've been my own boss. My income is also not consistent at all. I mean, I make a lot more in the summers than I do in the winters, but it all averages out to a good income. But on top of that, I was now adding single mom to my title. And if that wasn't bad enough, when you search the average yearly income for a makeup artist, according to the government websites, they say that we make around $36,000 a year. So of course, it didn't look like I'm going to be able to handle paying almost $5,000 a month in rent. Every time anything has to do with me proving my income, I have to get ready to put my dukes up. So I'm used to this kind of stuff. I have to be as transparent as possible, and it looked like this was going to be no exception. So I did what I had to do. I opened up my bank account on my phone and showed them everything. I also showed them my credit score along with the breakdown so they could see that I don't have any debt. I'd never missed any bills. I also let them know that I have a very large sum of money that my parents are hanging on to for me that I made when I sold my condo. They said they didn't believe me, that I was being dishonest about the money, and that if I was making as much as I said I did in a year, then why wasn't all that money in my bank account? I tried explaining that I've taken my friends on trips and invested money into making a podcast, but they weren't having any of it. I couldn't understand anything the couple were saying to Ling, but I could tell that she was getting frustrated on my behalf. Forget a 5-minute meeting. We were at a 2-hour mark now. That's how long I was sitting there trying to prove myself. I was trying to stay as calm as I could, but I started to feel like maybe they don't even want to rent this place to anyone after all. I couldn't help but feel defeated. Like, because I was a makeup artist and a single woman, they simply didn't trust that I could be as successful as I was saying I could be. In my frustration, I turned to Ling and I said, could you please ask them if I was a man, or if I had a husband sitting beside me, or what if I made the same income but said that I worked in medicine? Would they still be treating me this way? Ling turned to them, and I think she said what I asked her to say, but the woman paused for a second and nodded her head like, yes, I would. I didn't believe her. We were at 2.5 hours of me trying to prove myself at this point. I was getting exhausted. After a little more back and forth, the woman got frustrated too and slammed her hands down on the table. I didn't know what was being said, but Ling turned to me and asked, Jaina, I know I work for these people, but what they're putting you through right now isn't fair. You've shown them everything you need to, and they still don't believe you. Don't you think maybe you should just walk away? Everything froze. Maybe this wasn't meant to be. Maybe I just got excited for no reason, and honestly, this whole conversation had me feeling like someone I wasn't. It had me feeling like I was a broke scam artist or something. Sure, I was used to having to prove myself, but this was getting insulting. Could I make a two-bedroom work? I loved where I lived already anyways, and more importantly, I didn't want to have to live in a place owned by people who thought I was shady. What would you do in my situation? Would you tell them to suck it and storm out? Sit patiently and hope for the best? Or would you fight for it? Next week, you're going to hear the surprising way this conversation ended, and better yet, you'll find out if Arzu got her surprise or not. If you like this story, or if you know anyone who could use a little BLE in their life, could you pretty please share this show with them? I hear every time you do, another hardworking, independent woman who works for herself gets approved for a loan.
Yes!
It's true! Thanks again for listening. I can't wait to share what happens next week, but until then, please, go be your most fabulous self, and don't forget to spread that badass Big Lash energy everywhere you go.
Thanks again.
Mwah. Damn, Jaina, would you fit me in if you can? Damn, Jaina, I know you're the one with the plan. Damn, Jaina, there's no time to waste. Would you make damn, Jaina, could you make me up right now? Damn, Jaina, would you fit me in if you can? Damn, Jaina, I know you're the one with the plan. Damn, Jaina, there's no time to waste. Close, that's why I'm yelling. Damn, Jaina, would you fit me?